Welcome to today's live talk. I'm your host, Michelle Gasso. Today we will be speaking with Roderick Gotula, president of Correctional Med Legal Consultants, a firm that provides consulting, education, and expert witness services in the correctional healthcare field. Gotula's background training is in family medicine, and he became involved in correctional healthcare in 1991 as chief medical officer of the Colorado Department of Corrections. He has served as president of the Society of Correctional Physicians and is immediate past president of the American Correctional Health Services Association. Dr. Gotula has provided numerous lectures at national correctional healthcare conferences and served as an expert witness in correctional healthcare litigation. Today he will be speaking with us about healthcare complications with offenders experiencing alcohol withdrawal. Welcome to today's live talk, Dr. Gotula.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're very happy to have you. Alcohol withdrawal is, I guess, more of a healthcare concern for jails. But are jails really equipped to handle the symptoms that they might see and the consequences? And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that, and also, you know, what it might look like if someone is going through alcohol withdrawal.
Well, I think many small jails are not well equipped to handle individuals that come in with alcohol withdrawal. One of the reasons that jails are more likely to encounter this situation is because they take people from the streets as opposed to the prisons where everybody would have already been detoxified. So individuals who have a history of alcohol abuse are frequently arrested and placed in jail, and if they stay there long enough, they're going to encounter some alcohol withdrawal symptoms. Some of the cases that I've seen, usually you'll have an individual who gets arrested for something like a DUI or DWI or is intoxicated and is in some type of motor vehicle accident. They'll be brought into the jail, and they'll go to booking in the jail. And at booking, they're found, or prior at the rest time of arrest, they're found to have a fairly high breath alcohol level, say 0.25 or 0.3, but the individual is fairly lucid, and although they may appear to be somewhat intoxicated, they're able to answer questions normally. This type of an individual who can sort of respond to appropriate questions with such a high drug alcohol level, or such a high alcohol level, are ones that are setups for having alcohol withdrawal symptoms. So usually this is first noticed at the booking. Depending on the size of jail and whether they have 24/7 nursing, they also may have a health screen by nurses. The problem that occurs with jails and the alcohol withdrawal syndrome is that when these individuals are arrested, they're still intoxicated and they still have a high alcohol level. And the alcohol withdrawal syndrome doesn't really begin until the alcohol level is much lower or gone.
What are some of the signs of alcohol withdrawal that officers or healthcare staff should sort of maybe look out for?
Well, the alcohol withdrawal syndrome can occur anywhere from 6 hours to up to 7 days after someone stops drinking. The length of time it takes for somebody to go in withdrawal depends on a variety of factors, whether or not the individual was binge drinking before they came in, whether they have a history of a very high intake all the time, whether their last drink was 24 or 48 hours before they were arrested and came into jail. But some of the things that you want to look for, some of the initial symptoms you're going to see are individuals are going to start getting nervous, maybe agitated, have headaches, may start to sweat and have a tachycardia or a rapid heart rate. And the classic one that everyone looks for is the tremor, so somebody who has tremors or shaking. Mm-hmm. And those are the early signs that you'll see that somebody's going through withdrawal. You can, in fact, even have seizures during those times, too, which is a very difficult thing to take care of in terms of the alcohol. alcoholic in the jail setting. I think one of the things that it's important for custody and healthcare staff in jails to know is that there's a up to a 5% mortality rate with alcohol withdrawal. So there are a lot of individuals, unfortunately, in this country who die in jails in alcohol withdrawal because of the lethality of the withdrawal syndrome.
Well, responding to this obviously is important, but what are some of the challenges in jail health care that can make responding to some of these symptoms a challenge or a problem, you know, or make it more complicated?
Well, one of the things that happens and is part of human nature is that we as a group don't tend to like to interact with alcoholics, and when they come into jail, generally they're not very happy with their situation, and so they can be abusive or non-communicative, and it's very easy to sort of want to pass them over and not do a good evaluation of their potential for having alcohol withdrawal. In the instances where I've seen complications or problems occur, one of the major issues has to do with the training of staff, both custody and healthcare staff. There is not a lot of there's lots of information out there about alcohol withdrawal, but a lot of that information has never been communicated to jail staff. So jail staff tend to be somewhat lacking in knowledge regarding the lethality of the disease and the progression of the disease. So although most people, as I said before, would know that maybe shaking would be part of the withdrawal syndrome that you're going to see, and that some of them will know also that individuals can have seizures, they don't recognize that they can die from those symptoms, and that alcohol withdrawal is a very treatable disease process. Some of the facilities where I've read records, the staff is not knowledgeable at all that anything can be done regarding alcohol withdrawal, and alcohol withdrawal can be treated quite safely. It's very difficult to do it in the jail environment as a rule, so I think the first thing that needs to be done is the staff need to become educated regarding the whole alcohol withdrawal syndrome, and that not only means all the various symptoms that they can see someone have, but becoming knowledgeable about its lethality and also becoming knowledgeable about what sort of treatments are available.
Right. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Rod Gatula, President of Correctional Med Legal Consultants, about alcohol withdrawal. I wanted to get back to what you were just saying about how this is a treatable situation. If there is, you know, if signs and symptoms do appear on a correctional officer's watch, what should that officer do first? Are there certain things he should do to respond?
Well, assuming that it's not a major symptom, like somebody having a seizure, if somebody has a seizure and they're in alcohol withdrawal, then I think they need to call 911 and get them transported emergently.
Okay.
Otherwise, they should go ahead and contact their health care staff and let their health care staff know what sort of symptoms the individual is manifesting to see if anything can be done on site. The treatment of alcohol withdrawal is to actually use sedatives such as Valium or Librium. Alcohol itself is a depressant, and what happens in alcohol withdrawal is that the central nervous system and the cardiovascular system react in the opposite way of the depressing effect of alcohol. So that's why individuals become hyperstimulated, why they have the tremor, why they have the sweating, why they have the tachycardia, and is ultimately what results in the seizures, which can be fatal. The treatment of alcohol withdrawal syndrome is to dose the individual with something like Librium or Valium in sufficient doses to quiet down the central nervous system until the body has a chance to get over the withdrawal syndrome entirely, which usually takes 3 to 5 days.
Okay.
And health the custody staff needs to go ahead and let the healthcare staff know what the symptoms are so they can have some type of an idea of what stage of withdrawal that individual is in, whether they're mild withdrawal, moderate, or severe. And one of the best tools to evaluate that is something called the CIWA AR scale. It's CIWA hyphen AR. This is a standardized scoring system for alcohol withdrawal that takes 10 different parameters, and you rate withdrawal, the withdrawal of each parameter. So one parameter would be nausea and vomiting, and you rate it from 0 to, which is no nausea or vomiting, to 7, which is constant nausea or frequent vomiting. And another parameter is tremor, where you can have them hold their arms out with their fingers spread. 0 is no tremor, and 7 is severe, even with the arms not extended. Part of the problem that we have as healthcare providers or even as custody officers is we all have a different interpretation as to how severe somebody is in the withdrawal stage. One of the advantages of the CIWA AR scale is it sort of quantifies this. So even though you may score a person 3 on nausea and I might score them 4 on nausea, we're going to be in the same ballpark. Mm-hmm. The studies have shown that if an individual, the CIWA AR scale has a total of about 67 points. So if you were to max out on every category, you would have around 67 points. Mm-hmm. We know from the studies and the literature that if anybody has a score over 10, that they're at risk for having severe alcohol withdrawal.
Oh, wow.
And the treatment recommendations are that anybody who scores more than 10 should be started on medications such as Librium to get them down below 10.
Okay.
It's very difficult to do this in a jail environment because that means that you need to have individuals who are very comfortable with the CIWA AR scale and very comfortable in giving the Librium medicine. And for the most part, in small jails, especially ones that don't have, if they don't have 24/7 nursing, then it's very difficult to initiate any kind of treatment. And my recommendation are that individuals who fit into a category that would be above 10 should be sent to the local hospital to go ahead and be detoxified.
I see. Well, knowing all this, I guess to try and prepare ahead of time, agencies should have some protocols in place and some information about how to do this. So I was wondering if you could talk about, you know, what they should be gathering and what they should be doing to prepare to adequately address this kind of situation.
The facility should have fairly explicit policies and procedures in regards to the treatment of alcohol withdrawal, how they're going to address it, etc. They also need to have very good intake systems that allow them to pick out those individuals who are more likely to have alcohol withdrawal. An example would be if an individual has gone through withdrawal before, they're much more likely to go through withdrawal again. If an individual has had alcohol withdrawal seizures before, they're much more likely to have withdrawal seizures again. So at the intake, the custody staff need to know that, number one, if somebody comes in with a high breath alcohol or blood alcohol level, like I said in the beginning, a 0.25 to 0.3, and they're walking and talking, those individuals are at very high risk for having alcohol withdrawal syndrome, as opposed to somebody who maybe comes in with a blood alcohol of 0.1 and appears drunk, because that individual then has not built up their chronic immunity to the effects of the alcohol. So they need to have a very good screening process to sort through which individuals are likely to have symptoms. The custody staff need to be trained to look at those individuals who've been sort of flagged as potentially susceptible to alcohol withdrawal and monitor them and make sure that they're not starting to see some of the early symptoms of alcohol withdrawal, such as the sweating, the nervousness, the tachycardia. The nursing staff need to know the symptoms of alcohol withdrawal, and they need to know how to treat it. And this means that the medical director of the facility needs to help them with specific policies on how they're going to go ahead and treat the alcohol withdrawal, or to decide at what level they're going to send somebody out to a hospital to go ahead get treatment, because they're not able to safely treat them while they're in jail. There are also some resources. One resource where you can get more information is the American Society of Addiction Medicine website, and that's www.asam.org. And if you do a search on that website titled Alcohol Withdrawal Syndrome, you'll see hundreds of articles that have to do with alcohol withdrawal, and there are some that are excellent in that they give a very thorough explanation of not only alcohol withdrawal syndrome, but also the treatment of it. So that's one resource, and I think that would probably satisfy at least the information that most facilities need to have to be able to develop appropriate policies and procedures on how to evaluate these individuals and monitor them while they're in the jail setting.
Wonderful. Well, that concludes today's live talk, and thank you very much to Rod Gatula, President of Correctional Med Legal Consultants, for joining us today. We're very happy to have had you. Also, thank you to our audience for tuning in. To learn more on correctional health care issues, be sure to read this month's articles on the Corrections Connection at www.corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Michelle Gasso.